grateful that Pastor Forney has given me the liberty to preach what I feel like the Lord gave me for this marvelous and specific occasion, Romans chapter 8. And I want to just read one verse, and that is verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. The rest of it that's a part of that particular part of Scripture, you can read it at your leisure. We'll be referencing some things there. But the Word of God says there at verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And I just want to stop right there. For that portion of Scripture speaks, I think, to things that we go through and things that your pastor and his wife go through as well. The question, my brothers and sisters, could easily be raised to Christians in general and to those who lead in the ministry of preaching and teaching and pastoring in particular. The question is, what keeps you going? How are you sustained over long periods of time? How do you stay focused over the years and through the various difficulties that you face as a normal result of just living, and in particular, carrying on Christian ministry? What is it that prevents you from quitting during the most dark and difficult moments of your life? If you are familiar with the Apostle Paul, to be familiar with him is to know all the things that he went through in ministry. To be familiar with him is to realize all the hardships that he faced in life. And when you think of him, what was it that kept him focused? How did he stay motivated for so long? Why was it not that after a while he didn't feel like just throwing in the towel completely? Why is it that he followed through on the emotion to stay with God no matter what happened, even though no doubt he experienced a variety of troubles and a variety of difficult times? What kept him going? Through the writings that God gives us through the pen of the Apostle Paul, Paul gives us glimpses, if you will, into his inner self. And on a number of occasions, he allows us to see what his mindset was as he lived out his life in ministry. It helps us to have some idea as to how he was able to maintain, Manita, such a vibrant ministry over such an extended period of time. Again, being familiar with some of the things that he went through, it can help us if we understand how he was able to maintain his ministry for so long. For one of the things that happens in life, my brothers and sisters, particularly in the lives of believers, Carol, is we fall prey to discouragement. We just get tired sometimes along the way, and sometimes we decide to quit. We might not take our name off the roll, or we might even stay associated with the ministry group, but we quit as it relates to still being an active member and a participant as to what's going on. So how did Paul stay so motivated? He seems to be just as motivated as he neared his death as he was when he first got started. So how did he go through all of that and still stay motivated? In the verse of Scripture that we've read in your hearing, and particularly in the surrounding context of those verses, and in the book of Romans itself, the Apostle Paul helps us to again understand his mindset, his view of life, his view upon the world at large, his view upon the church and the church's ministry, and his view upon himself. It was his mindset that is exposed to us that can help us even as we have our own individual journeys, but then also he can help us to be mindful of those who lead us by the way of pastoral positions, because we can identify with them and understand where their main motivation comes from. Are y'all with me, or am I preaching in here by myself? There are those that think that money is an adequate motivation for ministry. But my brothers and sisters, money alone would never cause people to stay in ministry, because again, much of what people get at this time is not what they got when they first started in ministry. I don't know how it was for Richard and Manita when they came here, but I think I can say categorically they probably put in more money than they were getting from the church. So oftentimes when we start in ministry, there's no money to have. And so money cannot be an adequate motivation to be able to stay for the long haul for ministry. I don't know about you, but some of us have to scrape up to give whatever we can. We've got to be able to be willing to sacrifice and do without. And so that lets us know for sure that money alone would never be a big enough motivation to keep a person in ministry. And so what was it that kept Paul going? Paul would have us, as we look in this verse that I've mentioned, he would have us see a couple of things as he points out to us and highlights what the Bible has to say concerning them. One of the words I want you to notice, my brothers and sisters, is this word, suffering. The Apostle Paul never tried to hide the fact that suffering was a part of his lot. He never tried to convince people that if you become a Christian, you will not suffer any longer. That if you became a Christian, everything would go well in your life. And every Christian, we feel like we want to be wealthy, and it is God's will and plans for our life that as we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, everything is going to be all right. Well, children of God, the church people ought not ever be deceptive like that and lead people to believe that just because we accepted Christ as our Savior, that doesn't mean we're not going to suffer. I don't know whether you know it or not, but suffering is a part of the human lot. There is no way to effectively avoid all suffering taking place in your life. And yet, believers do suffer too. Just because you love Jesus doesn't mean things won't go wrong in your life. Just because you love Jesus don't mean you'll always be healthy. Just because you love Jesus doesn't mean the devil won't act up in your house. Just because you love Jesus doesn't mean you won't have some emotional toil in your life. Just because you love Jesus doesn't mean that everybody in the church will love you back. Just because you love Jesus doesn't mean that all your earthly fruit faithfulness will be rewarded by men and women. Just because you love Jesus does not mean that we will not suffer. I understand prosperity. I understand our liking for it. I understand the fact that all of us like to do well. Isn't that right? That we like for things to go our way. I understand that all of us like our family life to be smooth and easy going. All of us like to have all the things that this life is able to afford us. But at the same time, we must always be prepared for the fact that suffering is a part of the human experience. And so, if you can't handle suffering, if you've not learned to go through something, you're really going to have a miserable time in life. If you can only serve God when things are going good, you're not going to serve God long, neither will you serve him well. If everything has to be on your side for you to be on God's side, you might as well switch sides right now. You need to understand that suffering is a part of the human experience. Believers do go through some things. And those of us who have gone through some things and those of us who are in the church need to be careful that we don't make other people feel less than a believer because they have some suffering in their lives. Believers do suffer. The Apostle Paul, though he speaks of suffering here, he does say at this present time. One of the good things that we can think about as a believer is that suffering is just for the present time. I like the fact that suffering is not eternal for the believer. I like the fact that no matter what you're going through, it is for a limited time only. I like the fact that no matter how bad things get, they can't stay bad forever, because you already know it's for the present time. But while you live here, you're going to have some difficulties and some troubles. Suffering, my brothers and my sisters, is a part of the human condition. But you need to have a clear concept as to why suffering is a part of the human condition. Suffering is a part of the human experience, my brothers and sisters, because of sin. We live in a sin-infested world, and sin creates all kinds of problems for us. Sin creates problems in your mind. Sin creates problems for your body. It has created problems for our environment. It is because of sin that we have hospitals. It is because of sin that we have funeral homes. Sin has made cemeteries necessary. It is sin that causes us to have wars with one another. It is sin that causes people to be greedy, and a few people want to have it all and others have nothing. It is sin that causes people to do underhanded things. It is sin that causes people to gossip and backbite and the like. Sin is prevalent in our world. Sin is really a terrible thing. And sin has put us in a messed up situation. It didn't start out that way for believers. You know, if you read the Bible, that in the beginning, God created everything good. But when sin entered into the experience, it all got messed up. And so we live in a sin-infested world. It is interesting that for those of us who do not have an understanding of sin and its effect, some people love sin and hate God. Because often people give sin credit for what God has done and blame God for what sin has done. People sometimes take the blessing of God and think they got it because of sin, not understanding that sin didn't get it for you. God just gave it to you anyway. It was the Lord's mercies that were new every morning. And even though we were sinful, we still wound up getting blessed. But then sometimes you hear people say, I'm mad at God because God let my loved one die. But they don't understand that the reason your loved one died is because of sin. So if you're mad about someone dying in your life, you don't need to get mad at God. You need to be mad at sin. But sin and suffering go together. And so, Pastor Forney, Paul says, I understand that I am suffering. I understand that I have suffered. And I understand that I will indeed suffer on other occasions. That's a part of my experience. I understand that it has to be a reality in my life. And even as he talks about suffering in this verse and in this context, note, he also talks about glory. He begins speaking about glory, and then he introduces suffering. And then he goes back to talking about glory. Glory, my brothers and my sisters, is a word you frequently find in the Bible, but it's a word that everybody has a difficult time trying to define. If you try to look up the word glory in a lexicon or Bible dictionary and such, everybody has a tough time trying to explain what it is. That's one of the reasons why it's so special, because you can't explain it. All you can do is, when you see it, is just say, glory. When you see it, words can't come to our mouth. All we can say is just glory. So you know it's something different. You know it's something unique and something higher than we have ever experienced. Are y'all here with me? It is some type of splendor. It's some type of radiance. There is something that is so unique and special about glory. There is something that is so precious and alluring, but beyond that, we really can't explain it. You know that it is something to be desired. It is the highest experience that a person would be able to enjoy. It is used to speak of God even as we speak of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And when we speak of the glory of God, it's still difficult to define because God has so many wonderful attributes. But all of his attributes needed together make up his glory. And so he is not just one thing. He is everything in such a glorious way that we have to ask, how do you really describe God? And so Paul talks about glory. And he says that glory is ultimately what we all desire. Many times we don't understand that there is a yearning in the human heart for something that earth cannot really provide for us. Anybody ever felt like that? So we know that even though we enjoy stuff, even after we get a lot of stuff, we still know that something is missing. And when we take inventory of our lives and look at all the people we know and all the people we've known throughout our life, and when we think about the people who are special to us and people who have done great things for us, in the end, inside of us, we still know that something is missing. You know that somebody might have touched you in a special way, but unless you already know God, you know there is a spot that is still empty in our hearts. You know that no matter how dear you hold people in your heart, you know that there is a room that no human being can fill. And part of what it is to experience the glory of God is to have a relationship with God where he shares with you who he is and allows you to be involved with him. But he says glory is going to be something greater even than that. He says, Paul does, that glory is going to be revealed in us. So what God is going to end up being revealed in us. We're going to be glorified, the Bible says, like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When he appears, the Bible says we're going to be like him. So even though we may not be able to describe glory, the Bible teaches us that we're going to get glory. The Bible says, although that we know it is special and you can't really put a label on it other than glory, the Bible declares that one day it's what we're going to be. So, my brothers and sisters and children of God, when you go suffering, Paul says, also remember glory. And it is a glory, he says, that everybody is groaning after. He points out that not only do we as humans groan after glory, we get tired of these sick bodies. We like our bodies when they're young and strong and everything is working. But you get a little older and you start having pill boxes on your nightstand and ointment that you've got to rub yourself down with, and other stuff you need just to help you keep your balance, and stuff you need to help keep the oxygen going in and out of your lungs. And Paul says, sometimes we grow weary in these old bodies. As a matter of fact, I'm sure if we went around the room today, we could find someone who says, yeah, my foot is hurting, but I'm still at church. Yeah, my knee is hurting, but I'm still here at the church. Yeah, my head is hurting, but I'm still at the church. Because in these bodies, we realize that something is wrong. And so the Bible teaches us that we groan in these bodies. But you know what? Not only do we groan, but creation also groans. Even though the vegetables didn't do anything, they got cursed too. Even though the animals had nothing to do with sin, they got cursed too. And so all of creation is under the curse of sin and suffering. But one day... one day, all of creation is going to experience glory again as well. Paul talks about suffering, but then he goes back and spends the bulk of his time talking about glory. I'm almost done. Stay with me a little bit longer and do me the honor of an amen or two at the appropriate place. Somebody ask the great legendary preacher, Dr. Gardner Taylor, how many points should a sermon have? And he said, it's got to have at least one. And this is the point I'm trying to make today, and then I'm going to go to my seat. Here's the point I want you to see. The Apostle Paul has this understanding of suffering, and he has this understanding of glory. But he wants us to see that you have to learn how to know together, put the two together, and reach some conclusions that will help us deal with life. So on the one hand, Paul says, I understand suffering. And on the other hand, I understand glory. But let me tell you what I had to do. Paul says, what I had to do was consider. Now, by consider, what he means was I had to logically work my way through the revelation that God had made available to me. I had to do some thinking, Paul says. And a lot of times Christians get in trouble if all we have is feeling. It's all right for the emotive part of our experience to be involved with God. That's good and necessary. But in addition to your emotions, you ought to have some facts. I know a lot of times people say, I've got faith. But let me tell you, faith always has a reason. Faith is always based on facts. You say, well, I can't prove it. Well, you don't have to prove it. You just have to have a reason. And the reason always has to be the word of God. Because God said it. That's why I believe it. Because God said it. That's why I'm standing on it. Because God said it. That's why I'm acting the way I act. Because my faith has its substance in the word of God. And so, brothers and sisters, I consider. And so I reason. And you will never be stable in your Christian life if you don't know how to stay motivated in the service of God, unless you come to a point of considering in your life. You need to have a basis to do what you do the way you do it. If you're going to stay in ministry for the long haul, whether it's your own personal ministry as a believer or whether it's what we call professional, individual, vocational ministries in the church, you got to be able to do it because you've done some considering. And you have to make sure you consider correctly. Because if you consider incorrectly, you'll find yourself in a bad place. But Paul says, this is what I do. I consider that suffering is of this present time, and it's not worthy, the Bible says, to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Paul says, so this is how I work this thing out. I look at my suffering, but then I look at my glory. And when I look at my suffering and I think about my glory, I consider that the suffering is not worthy to be compared to the glory. I consider that what I'm going through is not worthy to be compared to where I'm going to. And so therefore, I consider I can put up with what I need to put up with because of what God has in store for me. He says, I've been considering like that for my whole ministry and my whole Christian life. And I want to challenge you today to ask yourself, what should you consider? I want you to ask yourself today what to consider about your Christian life. I want you to ask yourself, do you consider it's a good idea for you to be a child of God? And if you consider yourself to be a child of God, your consideration ought to go like this, that no matter what happens in my life, God has already given me more than I deserve. No matter how bad things get, God never owed me anything. I consider that if God suffered for me in Christ, I consider that I ought to be willing to suffer for him. I consider that if Christ died for me, I ought to be willing to live for him. I consider that even though sin did a lot to me, I consider that sin can never do more to me than grace can do for me. And so I consider that I'll still be all right. Because though sin did abound, the Bible says that grace did abound much more. I consider, my brothers and sisters, that I'll be all right. Because no matter what comes in my life, I consider that grace will always be sufficient. Oh, bless the name of God. Paul says, I didn't always consider like this. He says, at first, I felt like I was going to be all right. If I wanted to be all right, then God had to take the thorn out of my side. But Christ had to tutor me. Christ had to teach me. Christ had to work with me and show me where my consideration was off. He had to show me where my reasoning was off. He had to show me where I missed biblical, theological, and divine logic. He had to show me that even though trouble came my way, that grace would always accompany trouble. Oh, bless his name. And he helped me to understand that if I consider that if I have trouble, I'll always have grace. And that grace will always be sufficient. And grace will always be with us. And then, my brothers and sisters, as you work your way theologically through this text and logically through this text, you might say along with Paul and others that I consider if this world is not my permanent home, I consider that I ought not put all my hope down here. I consider that if this body is groaning, then one of these days I'll get a brand new body. I consider that if I fought a good fight, I finished my course. I've kept my faith. But no matter what we go through down here, I think we'll be able, like the songwriter says, but when I see Jesus, when I see the one who died for me, no matter what I've gone through, when I see Jesus, I still say amen. Yes, they mistreated me, but amen. Yes, I had sleepless nights, but amen. Yes, sickness invaded my body, but amen. I consider that God has still been good to me. And while you're doing your considerations, brothers and sisters, you got to consider that one of these days you'll be in the presence of Jesus. You got to consider that one day you'll be looking at him in his eye and he'll be looking at yours. And you got to consider when I see him, it's going to make up for all the trouble that I went through in life. When I see him, it's going to let me know that nothing happened on earth that is better than just being with him. We need to consider that when we see Jesus, everything is going to be all right. We need to work it out. We need to think about it. We need to consider. We need to logically deduce our way through that when we see Jesus, these present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. What am I trying to say here? Yeah, I know it's tough. Yeah, I know we have suffering every now and then. I know that we have trouble every now and then. But thank God we've got a God who knows everything that we're going through. Thank God that we have a God who has experienced everything that we have, but yet was without sin. I'm so glad today that God came in my life. I'm so glad today that God came in your life. For if it were not for God, ain't no telling where we would be. If it were not God moving in our circumstance, ain't no telling what we would be doing. If it were not for God reaching out for us first, ain't no telling where we would have been last night. If it wasn't for God, most of us probably wouldn't even be sitting in the sanctuary today. But I thank God that today I'm in his church. I thank God that I might not be perfect, but I'm trying to live a perfect life. I thank God that even though I might not be all that I should be, I thank God that I ain't what I used to be. For when I consider what was in my past, and when I consider what my future's gonna be, all I can do is tell the Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being in my life. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son Christ. Thank you, Lord, for his death on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for loving me with an everlasting love. Thank you, God, for being better to me than I've been to myself. When we consider all that has gone on in our lives, when we consider and think about all the trouble that we may have experienced. While you thinking about suffering and while you thinking about trouble, I encourage you to think about glory. Even though it's hard to understand, the Bible teaches us that one day God will be glorified in us. Yeah. We might not all be all that much now, but one of these days, Christ is coming back after his church, a church without spot nor a wrinkle. One of these days, Christ is going to break the clouds of glory and come down to earth, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And when we see him, oh my God, we can't imagine what that's going to be. Richard and Manita, 16 years, I know it hadn't all been easy. 16 years, I know everybody hadn't always been your friend. 16 years, I know you had some ups and some downs, but thanks be to God. Every one of those 16 years, God has never left you, nor has he forsaken you. You may not have been able to see him in every instance, but he was always there. I believe in it by the power of God that even though things might have been tough, even though you might have struggled sometimes, but the presence of God would every now and then reach out and tap you on your shoulder and say, I'm still here. I know it's tough, but I'm with you. I heard what they said. I saw what they did, but I'm with you. And you will not understand where God is going to continue to take you in your life and what God is going to continue to do through New Joy Fellowship Church. People of God, anybody in here love him? Anybody in here looking forward to seeing him? Anybody in here know that without him, you would be nothing? Is there anybody in here that knows if we just stay with Jesus, everything going to be all right? And the people of God said amen.